All right, welcome into the Fan pregame Tuesday night edition. 60 minutes across Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Ailish and Justin here, joined by Frank Saravalli in about 5 minutes. Who's in Vancouver for the Preds and Canucks series, which has a little bit of breaking news we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah, we'll tee up what's ahead with Frank, and we'll look back later with Liam McHugh, the NHL and TNT host, will be with us in about a half hour. We'll dive into the details of his tattoo bet with Biz.
Would you ever bet a tattoo with me?
Not on a single series. I think it'd have to be something else? Bigger. Yeah.
You would bet something else.
I'm tattoo-less, though, so it's a bit of a... Maybe Liam McHugh's tattoo-less. I don't really know.
It doesn't strike me as a guy that is tattoo-less to make a bet like that with Biz. We'll get into all of that a little later in the show. Jays will continue on in Kansas City after a win last night. Gausman on the mound. They'll be up on After Us on Sportsnet 1 at 7:30.
Yeah, win tonight. It'll be five straight series with at least a split, so that's how you stay in contention. Mm-hmm. Quick recap on a wild night in the NBA a little later, including a Canadian first and, of course, best bets.
Okay. Thatcher Demko out for game two. If you're just tuning in and you're a Canucks fan, we've got some news for you. A little earlier shared that he's going to be out for game two and possibly even the rest of the series. Now, I found a little tidbit that this is not the first time that the Canucks have had to deal with a goaltender injury to their starter in the last four times he appeared in the playoffs. Schneider in 2013, Miller in 2015, Markstrom in 2020, and Demko in 2024. It's like...
Deja vu all over again.
You think the Leafs fans have deja vu with the Bruins? So do the Canucks in terms of their injury concern. Now, this is obviously a big one. Thatcher Demko came back into this series just in time to start for the playoffs, and I thought that that gave Vancouver the legs, the backbone, the legitimacy to be a Stanley Cup contender, and now there's obviously a high level of concern.
Yeah, it's a big blow. I think Thatcher Demko would be on a short list of players, I guess not skaters, the entire NHL population that could be, you know, big time X factors, guys that could decide a series, guys that could be the difference in a coin flip series. Connor Hellebuck would be one, maybe Andre Vasilevsky, predominantly goaltenders. Maybe you could put Connor McDavid or Austin Matthews on that list, but Thatcher Demko certainly would be on that list. And this season, 135 and 51 starts, goals saved above average, second only to Connor Hellebuck. He is one of the game's elite. Mm. And they'll be turning to Casey DeSmith or Artur Sylovs. And DeSmith this season, 12 wins and 29 appearances, .895 save, just very mid across the board. So you go from elite, one of the very best, to, okay, replacement level. And I don't know what that's going to do to the Canucks. I have a guess of what it might do tonight, but in the long term, yeah, it's hard to really make up the ground that Thatcher Demko gives you.
Yeah, Nashville and Vancouver will be up at 10 p.m. across Sportsnet. Washington and New York will be the start of that doubleheader at 7 o'clock. You can watch Colorado and Winnipeg at 9:30 on CBC. And if you're looking for Tampa Bay and Florida, that'll be at 7:30 on Sportsnet 360. So we got all the games, but this one will be interesting. I mean, I guess the Predators are maybe the best opponent to be going down a goaltender to. It's the playoffs. Everyone has goal-scoring capabilities. If you're looking for a silver lining, maybe the Predators don't have like one or two crazy goal scorers, but they are a well-balanced team. And Vancouver was the favorite for this series. They have that easier pathway that we were excited about for a Canadian team to be able to make it through a round or two. But without Demko, who, as we mentioned, he missed about a dozen games there due to the knee injury, sounds like this isn't the same injury. Now, we're going to talk to Frank, obviously, in a couple minutes, who will help us decipher what happened. But when he recovered for those final two games, it's a bit of a quick burst into the playoffs. He was 1-1 in the final two games with a .938 save percentage. And then in game one, obviously, against Nashville, saved 20 of 22 shots. So, yeah, he's really, really important. Don't want to be like hit the panic button and the series is over, but it's gone a lot more difficult. And I don't know how my level of the Smith confidence, where to put that.
Yeah, it may be fine against Nashville. You're right. They're not the highest output team. They maybe rely predominantly on one scoring line, and they're kind of a team that tries to beat you with structure. But who's around the corner? We saw the Edmonton Oilers ambush the LA Kings last night. You're going to have probably pretty good goaltending to beat a team like the Edmonton Oilers in a division final. So, yeah, we'll see the extent of it. Maybe we'll learn something from Frank Saravalli in a moment, but maybe it gets them through Nashville tough to imagine that Edmonton wouldn't feast on the likes of Casey.
They can score a few goals, as we saw. Let's bring in our West Coast Frank Saravelli, joining us, president of Hockey Content at DailyFaceoff.com. How's Vancouver, Frank?
It's good. A few clouds in the sky the last couple days. It's certainly been beautiful here, except it kind of feels like with the Demko injury that the sky is falling for Canucks fans.
Are you in a toilet stall?
That's kind of what it looks like, isn't it? I mean, it'd be amazing if there was also a TV in a toilet stall. I might never leave.
What is happening?
So I got a little recording studio here. Hey, I'm making the best of being on the left coast. I'm not at home. I don't have the studio. This is as good as it gets.
It looks really good. The walls are closing in on you, Frank, and maybe the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, well, let's talk about the big news today, which is obviously Demko injury. So what do we know in terms of how long and maybe what the extent of this injury is to begin with?
Well, don't know how long, and the extent of the injury is that this is a new one. Mm-hmm. This certainly came as a surprise. I think it happened late in game one. I don't think it had anything to do with the big pad save that he made in the first period. I don't think it has anything to do with the injury that he sustained a few weeks ago with his knee. And the timeline really is up in the air. When I say and reported earlier today that Thatcher Demko's status for the remainder of the series is questionable, I mean, I think it's exactly that. I think if they were to play deep into this series, that there's probably a small outside chance that he could work his way back, but it's going to take time. And that's the disappointing part for the Canucks, is that they're going to be without their top goalie for the foreseeable, you know, next while here. And that changes completely the complexion of this series.
Yeah. So what are the ramifications for you? We were kind of talking, I don't know how much you heard of our discussion while we were coming in, or we're about to bring you in. But yeah, Nashville's not the highest output team. Nashville, maybe you can get away with structuring to death, for a lack of a better term. But we know what's around the corner, maybe with the Edmonton Oilers. Like, how does this change, I guess, the vibe, but also the upshot here for the Vancouver Canucks? Again, this isn't set in stone when it's going to be, but if there is a week to 10-day to 2-week absence, how much does it change things for you?
You know, I wouldn't say it changes a whole lot for me against the Nashville Predators. Casey DeSmith is capable. He has, I mean, it's not a long playoff history, but did play in one playoff game for the Pittsburgh Penguins and was actually quite good in that game. If I'm remembering correctly, I think it was in 2022 at the Garden, which then paved the way for Louis Domingue and the spicy pork and broccoli take, if I'm remembering the game correctly. And he was pretty darn good in that one. And so, you know, I think this Vancouver team is going to find a way to rally. I thought they were just okay in game one and had some nice flashes. The fact that they won game one without Miller and Pettersson, and really kind of for a large portion of that game, Quinn Hughes dominating, that they've got a lot of upside, that they can continue to get better. And I think, you know, maybe the rubber begins to hit the road for them if they can get past Nashville, and not overlooking that part, that the story would begin to change for me when it comes to the second round. And if they get to Edmonton and that's who it is, that they don't have Demko. Now, let me back up for a second and say that if they do get to the second round and they're able to beat Nashville, that there is a chance, I think, that Thatcher Demko comes back, maybe not to start. But, you know, I think we're looking at a multi-week scenario for Demko, at least as it was explained to me, that really kind of allows for the possibility that that could fix itself. Now, would it take him any time to work back into a rhythm? All those things, all fair questions to ask. But for right now, I think Vancouver's just kind of focused on the here and now. And they're also not going to be afraid to turn to Seelovs if they need to, if DeSmith doesn't, you know, hold up his end of the bargain.
With DeSmith or Seelovs, it may not be as dire for the Vancouver Canucks as it is right now for the Colorado Avalanche. The first game did not go well from a goaltending perspective. Georgiev will get another opportunity. Would you consider this the last gasp for Georgiev?
hard to say last gasp, because I've also seen teams go to a second goalie and then go right back to the first one because they didn't really like what they saw there either. So I'm not willing to write that in stone, but I can tell you that it seems like it's been building to this point for a while. Think back to the last couple availabilities for Jared Bednar in the regular season, and he's basically just exasperated, saying, we need more saves. And it's a two-part problem for Georgiev. One, he's overworked. And two, his play just hasn't been very good. Ilya Samsonov and Georgiev, the only two goalies that enter as starters in the first round with a save percentage under 900 this season. Samsonov, of course, played way better down the stretch, but still couldn't get those numbers back inflated. And the other part for Georgiev that really stands out to me, it's not just the comments from Jared Bednar, it's body language. I'm a big believer in body language. And when it comes to players and the way that they sagged after some goals that Georgiev gave up against the Jets in game one, it's not just on the players and their body language. It felt to me, watching from afar, I was actually watched the bulk of that game in the press box at Rogers Arena in Van. And I would say that the players, it kind of looked to me like they don't trust their goalie to make saves. And maybe their goalie in turn also doesn't really trust them to defend properly. That could be kind of a lethal combination in a seven game series.
You could probably hear the crowd all the way from Vancouver. Whiteout was incredible. 7-6 win for the Jets. We're going to have them up a little later, 9:30. Can't wait to see how they top what was already a pretty surprising start to that series. Mm-hmm. I think it's been really exciting to see the Canadian fan bases get their moment, right? The whiteout, you got to see the Canucks last night with the Oilers, the Leafs in a couple days. So it's been a nice showing in terms of energy for Canadian fans. Let's shift to Caps and Rangers. Maybe a little bit less oomph on that one, because I mean, I think it was interesting. Ovi not getting any shots in game one. And we joked about this, and I'm sure we joked with you that, well, he doesn't want to play any postseason games because he only wants to get his regular season goals and rest up. But it looked like a pretty lopsided affair. Are you expecting to see maybe a little bit of a lifeless Caps moving forward, or can they find a bounce back?
Well, they're expecting to find a bounce back. You know, the narrative around Ovi is so interesting, and we could probably debate that for an entire hour and fill a show, because, you know, I think back to the narratives that existed about him heading into the 2018 playoffs and what we saw from him and how he helped carry that team on his back and how much he basked in the glow of winning. It was amazing to see. So that's deep within him somewhere, I think. Maybe a little bit harder to pull out from him than others. But I thought the one comment from Tom Wilson was really kind of interesting. He was like, well, outside of that 5-minute stretch, you know, we were really right in the game. And I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Sabres are sitting there today saying, you know, outside of those first 20 games this year, we really played at a 93-point pace. Mm-hmm. We should be in the playoffs. Unfortunately, that's not how it works. And it's, you know, ask the Nashville Predators about 12 seconds that they'd like to have back from game one. There's a full complete game that you've got to play. And Washington had a decent enough showing. They did slow the Rangers down quite a bit, but they need to be better if they're going to not just compete in the series, but win it.
So they have their own series, obviously, in the Metropolitan Division. And I guess we can't get too far ahead of ourselves, but I think everyone expects the Rangers to go through. And Carolina did itself some serious favors last night with a comeback. Is there almost like the game outside of the game is just trying to get some rest, because the Rangers and Carolina Hurricanes might be looking at each other already, even 5 days into the Stanley Cup playoffs?
That's how it felt to me just looking at the brackets. It was almost like, don't, you know, allow your right arm to get chopped off in round one and just survive, because you've got the real test in the bracket. Now, in saying that, there's a lot of danger that comes with, you know, looking too far ahead, especially in the NHL, where wildcard teams routinely beat top seeds. It's really hard for me to look and find a path. You have to squint incredibly hard to see a way in which the Caps beat the Rangers. There's just such a disparity in talent. And you even look at the first couple games for the Canes against the Islanders, and to think that the Islanders are going to get better opportunities than they did in those first two, I'm hard pressed to believe it. If I were to grade the Carolina Hurricanes on how they played the first two games of this series, I'd give them a C or a C plus. They were just okay, but they found just enough juice at the right time to stage a comeback, to win a game in which you were severely outshot. That can allow you to beat a team like the Islanders in the first round where there is that disparity. But maybe there's something to what you're saying about these two teams sort of looking toward that next round and a Titanic matchup that really feels like in some ways it might end up deciding the Eastern Conference.
We're chatting with Frank Saravelli, who is in Vancouver ahead of a big one tonight without Thatcher Demko in net. Lightning Panthers, the last one that we didn't touch on in terms of tonight ahead for us. So 109 hits recorded in game one. If this series remains as physical as it was at the beginning, who's going to win that war of attrition? Like, who is better suited for a rock'em sock'em type of game?
I think Florida is, but that said, the Tampa Bay Lightning are prepared to play any which way you want. And I think that's been part of their calling card, their hallmark for success the last few years in winning Stanley Cups. I mean, think back to the second one that they won. They did play the Florida Panthers. It was a battle of Florida at some point. And the Panthers tried to run them through the glass right into row three. And the Lightning were just like, yeah, and? And so when you have that and you can live in that environment comfortably, I think, you know, Florida loves playing that way. They're a big reason why at varying points this year they've been maybe the beast of the East. But Tampa is equally well-suited to play in that arena, and that's just fine for them, which to me just ratchets up the theater when you consider not just the physicality, but the amount of skill that both of those teams have.
Okay, so we touched on all four games tonight, which you can find on Sportsnet and CBC, that latter one, Tampa and Florida, on Sportsnet 360 tonight. Got to ask you, though, about the Leafs and Bruins last night. And Auston Matthews, given a lot of credit, lauded for his performance, scores a big goal. The response on the Max Domi goal was also pretty critical. I think it may be slightly overstated how much credit he's getting for his performance, but what I am seeing... I mean, people were like, you know, hyperbolizing it to the extent of this is his greatest game of all time. And I'm not really sure that it's that because we've seen four goal performances and the like from him. However, I was very impressed with Auston Matthews and I was not very impressed with everyone else. The change that you need to see from the Maple Leafs key players, I think we're seeing it in Matthews. I'm not sure we're seeing it from anyone else, but specifically from Matthews, you kind of scoffed at me saying it wasn't, you know, the greatest of all time. What did you see from Auston Matthews last night that maybe has you thinking, yeah, he's turned the new corner here?
Yeah, definitely not scoffing at it, just scoffing at the idea that that was the best game that he's ever played.
Okay, we're on the same page then.
Yeah, I do think that he's, it feels to me like he's at least writing a new narrative. And, you know, maybe that was my one big question mark about this Leaf core heading into this playoff is show me something, show the rest of the league what you're all about. What is your level of compete? And more than that, what's your level of care? I think it had, you know, at varying points, it's been fair to question it, especially when the offense disappears at the most critical time of the season for a team that's built to win on the back of its scoring. And when you have Auston Matthews find a way like he did in game two, that says something to me. That's critically important when he's ready to step up at the biggest time to put the team on his back to ensure that they escape Boston with a 1-1 series tie to come home. There's a lot left to be said for him and for the rest of the core. And I think specifically the focus turns to Mitch Marner, because I don't know what happens to him when it comes to playoff time. And you could, you know, probably make the argument that this season as a whole, you know, something just seemed maybe a little bit off for him, but he gets to the playoffs. And speaking of body language, everything changes. He looks to me like a player who at times is nervous, at times is scared. And that leaves a lot left to, you know, to be desired for someone that's not just so highly talented and skilled, but who, someone who clearly wants to be successful, but maybe at this point in time, after even all that he's been through, maybe isn't equipped right now to be able to do so.
I think that's very fairly stated, and I think a lot of Maple Leafs fans are feeling that similar type of frustration, especially without having William Nylander in the lineup. There's a gaping hole in terms of offensive performance and goals to be scored, so hoping that whether William Nylander comes back or Mitch Marner comes back into play into this series, they'll find a way.
You got any news on Nylander?
Yeah, where's Willie?
No, I don't. I think the information that I've had generally trends and tracks with what others have been reporting around the league. Seems like a soft tissue injury that he's working through, that, you know, he'd like to, you know, ideally be in the lineup for game three, but I think remains questionable, and they need him. I talked about this stat yesterday. Heading into game two, the Leafs had played 51 games in the Austin Matthews era and in the playoffs. Mm. And half of them, 47%, they had scored two or fewer goals. Mm-hmm. How does a team that has this much firepower, that finished second in the league in offense this year, just can't find a way to score more than two? The record isn't that much better when they score three, but at least you give yourself a fighting chance. And maybe that is the takeaway from game two, is they did show some fight.
One last one for you, Frank, before we let you go. Let us know how the atmosphere has been in Vancouver. What have you been up to? What have you liked most about your visit to our beautiful left coast?
Yep. It's the atmosphere at game one was electric. just the scene outside of Rogers Arena and how amped up that fan base was for the first playoff game there in 9 years. You could feel it. I think the players could feel it. Some of the things that they said afterwards, I mean, JT Miller put it up right next to, you know, his wedding day and the birth of his kid. That to me says a lot. It's been a long time coming. And I think, as mentioned, this Demko injury really kind of changes the vibe here. I think there's probably some nerves, and probably would have been some nerves had they not found a way to pull out game one. But I think they've put themselves in a position where they've got a puncher's chance here, even with Casey DeSmith in net, to make it to round two.
All right, Frank, well, enjoy tonight and the rest of your trip. Are you headed home after this or coming across the country to other stops?
I do have some other stops. I'll be heading to Salt Lake tomorrow, and then I'll be heading to Nashville after that. So lots happening.
Okay. All right. We look forward to your unique studio setups in each stop along the way.
Yeah, this is not, I know it looks like a toilet stall, but I can promise you it's not coming with me on the plane. It's
staying right here. We believe you. Thanks, Frank. Enjoy tonight. We'll talk soon.
See you guys.
That's Frank Saravelli of dailyfaceoff.com.
That's funny.
That was so funny.
I wouldn't have noticed until you said it.
Are
but then
kidding?
I couldn't unsee it after that.
I had to mute to start giggling a bit.
Quickly, a ridiculous night last night in the association. And it's got some Canadian content. Murray, buzzer beater, take down the Lakers after LA was up 20-plus in the second half. In Canadian history, because it was the first ever in the playoffs, Canadian to hit a buzzer beater the way
that surprised
Jamal
me when
Murray
I saw
did.
That.
Yeah, that is a little bit surprising.
But go
and
us.
Then the Knicks score 8 points in 20 seconds, steal game two from the Sixers. Embiid's got a Messier-like guarantee saying they're going to win the series. Oh. But he's got, like, eye troubles now in addition to the soft tissue injury he's dealing with. That one is very interesting with the Knicks and Sixers. But these series have been really, really good. And we're just getting started. It feels like there's going to be a lot of drama. So I will reluctantly throw this softball your way.
Okay.
The NBA playoffs first round finally measuring up to the opening round of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I can't buy it. You know what I will? I will say playoff baseball has the weight, the moment that I think the playoff hockey has. But for me, basketball is just too like a continuous of a sport for those big moments that happen all the time. We did see last night was a crazy one off. The last night might have beat, you know, some singular nights in terms of round ones. But even last night in the NHL, Hurricanes with that insane comeback against the Islanders. We'll talk about that with Liam. The Jets and the Avs in the game one, 7-6. Even Matthews with his big moment on the touchdown pass from Domi. Like, those are incredible moments. Mark Stone, folks, who called it? First shift, first shot, first goal back. Like, there's so much crazy poetry in some of these games, and that was that last night. But it's great that the NBA has had these moments, and there's a Canadian tie in it, and we're seeing a lot more of it. But you know, I'm gonna have to pick hockey on this one, Justin.
And I will too. But it is progress, because I mean, I don't know, not so long ago, 3-5 years, even last year, it seemed like it was just a read through the first round of the NBA playoffs. Like, I wasn't even tempted to turn the channel. Now, like, I kind of want to know what's going on, if the Nuggets are trying to erase a 20-point deficit against LeBron James and the LA Lakers. Lots of good things happening every night right now because it's just that time of year. Let's go to best bets quickly on the Blue Jays. Once again, favorites over the Kansas City Royals tonight. Kevin Gausman, Michael Wacha. They beat the Royals 5-3 last night. Dalton Varsho, another home run. I will say, though, if you're looking for a betting angle, little stress on the bullpen. Garcia, Swanson, Romano, all used, all were used again over the last previous 2 days. Maybe if it's tight late, you go to the Royals. But right now, the Blue Jays minus 120 to bet on Kevin Gausman and Toronto.
Yeah, glad to see Kevin Gausman kind of inching his way back into that confidence ranking that all of Blue Jays fandom has for him. I'm going to go to my Stanley Cup pick, the Rangers tonight on the puck line. I think it's a mismatch. We saw that in game one. I'm liking them to continue dominance at MSG. The home teams have been elite all throughout the playoffs in both the NBA and NHL, which all hit last night. So I'm going to go with the Rangers. The best value you can find is them on the puck line. So that's my pick for tonight.
I will go to Frank Saravelli's Vancouver Canucks.
Frank Saravelli?
What's that?
Saravelli?
Saravelli? It took me a little bit, but that's pretty good.
God,
that is pretty good.
So much fun when you have to explain your joke to people.
No, it was good. I love the Canucks tonight. I love the Canucks. Rick Tocchet is going to have these boys fired up.
I don't know if I feel the same.
Yes. There's always a response. This is when you're going to get your best defensive effort. The Canucks play real hard, real structured, exactly the way Rick Tocchet wants them to in front of Casey Zismith. Maybe it sags a little bit in Nashville, but for right now, for tonight, for game two, I think the Canucks are going to be really, really good. And you can probably parlay that with the under and make it a little juicier. I like the Tampa, Florida over 5.5. And the Stars series price after losing game one plus 140. The Stars, well, it's not right off the Stars yet after Jake Oettinger couldn't stop anything in the first half of that game. I think they'll be okay still. Plus 140 is pretty good on a team that could go to the Stanley Cup final still.
Okay, so we previewed the games on tonight, which is Washington and New York at 7 on Sportsnet, Nashville and Vancouver as a second part of that doubleheader on Sportsnet at 10 o'clock. If you're looking for Colorado and Winnipeg, it'll be on CBC at 9:30, and then Tampa Bay and Florida 7:30 on Sportsnet 360. If you're looking for the Blue Jays and the Royals, that's at 7:30 on Sportsnet 1. We'll take a quick break. We're going to preview the games that are still to come this week and take a little bit of a look back with Liam McHugh, who has a big bet pending with Paul Bissonnette. We'll go through all of that, and we'll get you set for tonight. That's all to come on the Fan Pregame.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkin Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan ahead of a big night of hockey, Washington and New York at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet, followed by Nashville and Vancouver. That's a doubleheader on Sportsnet. If you're looking for Colorado and Winnipeg, 9:30 on CBC. And Tampa and Florida, Sportsnet 360 at 7:30. Your Blue Jays and Kansas City Royals at 7:30 on Sportsnet. One, we're going to wrap up our show with Liam McHugh, the host of NHL on TNT. And Liam, we all need to know if you're ready to go under the ink gun. What is it? The machine? What do they even call that when you get tatted up? But it might be happening to you soon.
Yeah. I guess ready or not, it's a possibility, but we'll see. I think there's a chance if this happens. First of all, I think we should all realize that this could still happen for Biz as well. let's not forget about that. It's a distinct possibility. I've been told that a tattoo artist will come in studio.
Wow.
And this could be a live TV event. And I have to tell you, this all sounded a lot more fun when I thought this was all going to happen to this. And it's already not that much fun anymore.
Okay. So let's walk it back a little bit and just explain to our listeners and our viewers where the bet came from and what's on the line here. Because we've mentioned tattoos and we mentioned Biz, and that's definitely perked some listeners to get the story from you.
Okay. So we were doing our final broadcast of the regular season. It's a long year. It's a long night. And then Biz kept going back and forth with me about the Leafs and the Islanders. And Biz has been killing the Islanders, which is my childhood team forever, and even more so this year. So he came right out and said, let's make a friendly bet. Let's bet on which team will go further. We'll discuss the terms later. And I said, great, done. Let's do this. And then things start escalating, right? And you're making terms of the bets at like 1:30 in the morning when you haven't slept. And these all sound like good ideas at the time. And tattoos are on there. Biz has to get the Islanders logo. If the Islanders go further, I have to get a Maple Leaf logo. If the Leafs go further, he would also have to get pied in the face by an Islanders legend who we are very much hoping is Butch Goring. And I think Butch Goring would probably love to do it. And I would then also have to wear a Canadian tuxedo to do a pregame show for the Leafs. That one I'm not that worried about. I feel like
cool. Like people wear that now.
Less permanence, certainly, as well. So I got to ask you, you're watching the Islanders blow that lead last night. What's your reaction to that? What was the group chat like when that was going down? Like, take us through your emotions of last night.
The group chat blew up. The NHL on TNT group chat was just getting, you know, things were churning out. Biz wasn't on it that much right away. And then I realized why. Biz was out there posting a video on Twitter, just laughing at the Islanders, laughing at me, calling this very typical. Couldn't have predicted it any more easily than this would be the outcome. And I'll tell you this much, as bad as that was, and it was awful, like just an absolute punch to the stomach to be, first off, up 3-0 in that game, and then 3-2 late in that game, and just see it all evaporate. What could have been a lot worse was that in the second period, I was so tempted to go online and just start trash talking Biz, because the Islanders looked great and it didn't look good for his Leafs, and I was going to put this all out there. So I have to say, as much as I obviously made a few bad decisions here, I could have made them much worse.
Well, you know that account, Freezing Cold Takes, would have screenshotted everything you had to say. So you might have saved yourself from
which is also permanent.
Yeah, you might have saved yourself from being trending worldwide. Okay, but let's get into this series in general, because, yeah, it's 2-0 for the Hurricanes at this point. So where do you still have, if you do, any faith in your Islanders to make this a competitive one?
All right, I'm going to sell you on this. First off, game one, I thought the Islanders were the better team. Mm-hmm. I would start right there. In fact, in many ways, that's the one that got away, even though yesterday was absolutely, to use the phrase from this, banana land, which it was. I would say game one, I thought they outplayed them. They looked poised. They should have finished a few point-blank opportunities, and they could have stolen that. That being said, they haven't lost at home, so I can use that old cliche, which I roll my eyes at when anyone else uses it. But now that I have to, I'll gladly use it. I would also say this. I think they can reset, because while Varlamov was not the problem for the Islanders, they can go to Sorokin at this point. And I do believe this. If Sorokin is on his game, and that has not always been the case this year, but if he is on his game, I think he's top five in the world. And if you have a top five goalie in the world, you have an opportunity to steal. And I could also say that this is a rowdy building to play. It's not quite the Nassau Coliseum, but I live on Long Island. I grew up here. These people, they're not polite. They're not going to be nice to people. In Carolina, the goalie sits right next to the fans. You know, they used to do that at the Coliseum. You ask Henrik Lundqvist the language that was used. He came over from Sweden. He's a nice kid. And all of a sudden, he's in there with these psychos, who are all my neighbors, by the way. And he was terrified. He wondered what he got himself into. So home ice is real on that.
Okay, so right before the Hurricanes stormed back, Austin Matthews lifted the Maple Leafs to a 3-2 win in a 1-1 series. And, I mean, part of the bet is probably, you know, it's maybe predominantly belief in the Islanders, but some disbelief in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Has your opinion on them changed at all through two games? One was pretty awful. The second was maybe encouraging some ways, but still same issues apply. Where are you at on the Maple Leafs, I guess, compared to where you were?
Yeah, unfortunately for me, my opinion has changed because I did not have a lot of faith in them going in. And then and we did the last Leafs game of the season, and we watched Willie Nylander play the whole game. Mm-hmm. And, we heard from Sheldon Keefe right after the game the fact that he was sort of done with regular season hockey. So he turned the page, and we're like, oh, we're getting playoff Nylander. But then all of a sudden, he wasn't playing. And game one was a disaster. I thought they tried to play a Boston Bruins-style game, and it was a game that they couldn't handle. Game two was totally different. They showed resilience. They showed poise. And Austin Matthews, more than showing that he was just like uber talented and the best goal scorer in the world, he was an MVP. It was the complete game, 200-foot game. in control of everything he did, great decisions. And then when he gets his moment to be brilliant, he cashed in and made Omar look just awful on that breakaway. It was an unbelievable move. That's a problem for me and for the Boston Bruins. That's our common problem right now, is the fact that, yeah, they look really good. They look scary. And they do look like a team that can win a series now, even if Willie Nylander doesn't come back. And then if he does come back healthy, I don't know. They're going to need some Jeremy Swayman magic here, and hopefully he can conjure something up.
What is your understanding, or what are you hearing? Because I think it'd be very fun to get your perspective on William Nylander's disappearance from the Maple Leafs lineup, disappearance from, I guess, the map in general, because we're getting some thoughts over here, but you also surround yourself with some kind of crazy animals. So what are they saying?
It's all over the map. It really is. First of all, there's people whispering conspiracies about what's, you know, bothering him. I mean, which is always great, because like anyone that wants to go out there and start saying that, just be prepared to look foolish at some point. Right. You're better off just saying absolutely nothing. Then it's just, you know, there's an old school hockey mentality, right? Where it's like, hey, you know, he better have like a broken leg or something horrible if he's not playing. I think this guy has been unbelievably durable throughout his career, as we've seen. You know, I think he last missed a game for injury in 2016. After that, he missed some games for COVID. But beside that, he's played every single game. You got to believe it's something really serious. These guys work. I think about like how much I look forward to just being a part of playoff hockey, a very small, insignificant part of playoff hockey, and how much it would kill me to miss it. Mm-hmm. It's killing him not to play. I have to believe that. So it's got to be something serious. And I don't know. I mean, listen, we'll all find out at the end. And I, you know, what happens at the end of playoffs? We found out like, oh, this guy was playing with a punctured lung. Like, these guys are way tougher than I will ever be in any situation. So I'm not going to doubt.
We're chatting with the NHL on TNT's Liam McHugh. You guys will be back on the air tomorrow with the Kings and the Oilers. And yeah, I'm sure you know, it was a beatdown last night in Game 1. Oilers getting a pretty resounding victory, scoring 7 goals. These two teams have played each other in the last 2 previous Stanley Cup playoffs. And that's interesting, right? Because it's hard to beat a team 3 straight times. But also, Edmonton knows LA now. And I think, you know, maybe they have a better understanding of what LA is now based on what LA might know about Edmonton, because Edmonton has changed their colors just a bit. So based on, you know, the last 2 previous postseasons, what we saw last night, I guess their paths here, has the divide widened between these two teams? Like, are we at the point now where Edmonton is that much better than they were 2 years ago, 1 year ago? Because this is a completely different series now, despite the same combatants.
I think it has widened. Absolutely. You know, I think you look at the Kings and their strengths should be down the middle and the fact that they have two-way centers, right? And they should be able to go into series and match up and frustrate players. I just don't think you can do that with the caliber of players that the Oilers have. I think they're too electric. They're too dynamic. You may slow them down a little bit, but you're not really going to frustrate them. I look at the Edmonton Oilers right now as the only team in this entire tournament, which seems very wide open, but they're the only team where it's cup or bust. Mm-hmm. They are that good. They are the team above everyone else talent-wise, and they do feel like a different team. They feel like they can play playoff-style hockey. They can make that switch. They can play physically. Skinner's been better, and he's going to have to be. And listen, I think Matias Ekholm, his factor in this team has changed things. You know, he adds a different element. He brought that in last year, and it's just added this year as well. I really do think it's widened, and I didn't know that I was expecting that last night, but there were times last night where McDavid just looked like he was flat out toying with people. Mm-hmm. Like, I can score now, but I'll just get an assist. Here we go. I'll just set you up. And that's an insane thing to do in playoff hockey, but they're at that point now.
So you mentioned the group chat. You guys also have the in-game chat, right, where you're watching the game. And I'm sure it's as colorful or as interesting when the Oilers are playing compared to any other team. Would I be wrong in that?
No, that's definitely in there. And I got to tell you, I can't wait. We'll get Wayne Gretzky back into the fold at the end of the week. Mm-hmm. And when he starts joining it, it's great. It's also like it's that special feeling of like you thought something was amazing, but you know it also wowed Gretz. And he puts it out there and you're like, wow, like he's blown away by this. That's like, that's such a cool feeling to know that he's not like, whatever. I did that 11 times, you know, he's amazed by some of this. And it's cool for me. I mean, to see pro athletes, you know, be astonished or be disappointed in things that, you know, you are, or that maybe you don't see at all. And that's kind of the cool thing about watching playoff hockey with these guys. And then it's like any group chat, right? Where it starts off about work or about something serious and then just devolves into one person getting made fun of for like the next 12 texts. It's like any
other. We're chatting with Liam McHugh, host of NHL on TNT. Okay, let's touch on the Golden Knights and the Stars, a 1-0 series lead for the Golden Knights last night, and a tight one against the Stars. Like, I think we've all believed in the Stars a little bit because they've been healthy, and then you see the Vegas Golden Knights come in, and all of a sudden, this is them full strength, full health, and they look pretty good. First impressions of that series, and if it's going to surprise people the way it does end up.
It probably shouldn't surprise us because we've seen a number of 8 seeds take down 1 seeds, and this does not feel like an 8 seed, right? I mean, this is the defending champs, and they wouldn't have been an 8 seed if certain people were playing down the stretch of the season who are now playing in the playoffs. They probably would have moved up there. I think the amazing thing about this is, while Dallas, what we've talked about this team and really enjoyed about their team is their depth. Vegas, that's how they won the cup last year, right? So they can match up depth-wise. I don't think they can match up goaltender-wise. But again, I didn't think that about Vegas all last playoffs. And they went all the way, and they won. So maybe that won't be as big a factor as a lot of us believe. I think the strange thing about this, and the crazy thing is, and I just did all the NHL awards, and you go through it, you're ranking guys 1 through 5, and some of them are really difficult. There should be an award for medical staff per team, and Vegas should win it every year, because it is just remarkable, the healing elixirs out in the desert, and how when a calendar flips and playoff starts, they somehow managed to get everyone full go and completely healthy. And what a nightmare if you are Dallas and you played all season long and you're the 1 seed. And congratulations, you get a healthy defending chance.
Yeah, it's like part medicine and then part strategy. Like, how can we make sure this spleen is perfectly suited for this exact time to be not lacerated, if that is the medical medical verbiage that you should be using there. It's interesting that you mentioned the goaltending with Dallas and Vegas, because Ottinger, yeah, he's the better goaltender, but I feel like he's both the X factor and the Achilles heel sometimes with the Dallas Stars, and we kind of saw that in game one.
Yeah, you know, we've had him on our air a few times down the stretch of the season, and he had been better. Which was such a good sign for Dallas, because I think we all remember back a few playoffs ago, right, against Calgary, and he was a one-man show, just an absolute wall out there, a huge human being who had unbelievable reflexes, young in his early 20s at that point, and it felt like, wow, this guy's just going to rack up Vezinas, and he is going to be the man. It's been uneven since then, and we saw that last night. Not a lot of shot attempts against, but he just wasn't up to it. When he's on, I really do believe he's one of the top goalies in the world. It's just now become a question. And I think the fact that he maybe is in his own head, because it certainly seemed that way when we spoke to him down the stretch, when we had him on and he had been good, he was happy, but it almost seemed more like relief, right? Like, I'd gotten through this and I did well, rather than just pure confidence, which you want to see from a goalie, or just not a care in the world, which is probably even better, where you're just not up or you're not down. He seemed relieved, and I don't think so. That doesn't tell me right now that he is calm and comfortable in net. But if he is, he can be that difference maker. It just certainly wasn't there game one.
When you evaluate the Canadian Cup hopefuls, and knowing now that Thatcher Demko might be out for tonight and maybe for longer than that, and seeing this reinvigorated Maple Leafs team, and of course you sounded really high on Edmonton, and we didn't really get into the Winnipeg Jets, like, who would you give the best chance to bring home a Stanley Cup to Canada for the first time in much too long?
I would say, listen, I still think it's Edmonton. I do, even though the West is a beast. I'm starting to really come around on Winnipeg. Hot down the stretch, not an easy building to play in, great crowd, great atmosphere. And I do love the idea that pretty much in every series, you're going to have the advantage in net, and they have enough offensive talent. They also have guys like Lowry who, like, this is his game. Like, you want to mix it up and you want to be nasty and get dirty goals. And you don't care how you score and don't care how you win. You just got to make it happen. He's the perfect guy for that. I'm really coming around on this team. It feels like it's their time, and they're getting Colorado at a good time too, where, yeah, Colorado can score five goals, but they have no idea how many goals they're going to let in. And they're just trading punches with you and hoping to come out on top. It's lining up really nicely for them. So I would say those two teams, I love Rick Tocchet, work with him. He's a friend, mm-hmm. and I wish the best, but man, not having Thatcher Demko, it is killer for that team.
Well, maybe if the Canucks get dropped from the Stanley Cup playoffs, he can be there when you're live tatted on TNT.
He
would probably come in for something.
Last one for you, because I've been thinking about it since we started talking about the bet. Like, if it's going to happen live on television, it's going to be hard to hide in general, right? Have you thought about where this tattoo might go?
Yeah. I mean, I considered just the Maple Leaf Mike Tyson here in this area, but or, you know, it might be more appropriate to have a, like, teardrop leaf
instead of the teardrop.
But it's not going to be a lower back. It's I think it could be on a night where I wear the Canadian tuxedo, and I just might have strategically located rips in my jeans, okay, in my pants. And I'll just get a leg. Yeah, there's too much thought really going on.
Yeah, you don't seem very confident. Like, you've already planned this.
My children are here somewhere, but I'm busy working on this right now, because this is what's vital.
Well, we cannot wait to see how this all shakes out. Best of luck with everything. I think, you know, there's Vaseline and some other remedies that might help with, like, the healing of it. I looked it up.
Tattoo protection.
You have to take care of it. Yeah.
I'm sure Biz will help you with all that. But we appreciate your time tonight, Liam. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and hopefully we can chat down the road.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Liam McHugh, host of the NHL on TNT. He's going to be Googling a lot of tattoo care treatments.
Yeah.
Got to keep that thing protected, a little saran wrap, a little Vaseline.
Yeah. I don't know for us, but, like, does it come down to, like, who gets the most victories? Is it just winning a series? Like, he's going to be dialed into these Boston games. But if it is, like, okay, the Islanders have to get just a win to even match what the Leafs have done so far, I don't know. They only got two more tries to do that. So that should be interesting down the stretch for the TNT crew.
Okay, so actually, speaking on that, Brad Marchand spoke last night after the Maple Leafs beat the Boston Bruins 3-2 at TD Gardens, getting the split, bring them home, and series isn't a series until you lose at home. So here's a soundbite of Brad Marchand talking about the Maple Leafs, how they're built differently this time around. And see what you glean from his answer to this question.
They're playing a really good playoff-type game right now. You know, you knew they would. They're built different than in the past years. They're playing a lot more physical, very committed to forechecking, playing very tight defensively. So you got to give them credit. You know, they're one of the top teams for a reason. You know, they've showed up. They're playing for keeps.
Okay. So
the keeps or Keef? Keefs. The Keef family.
Maybe.
Keefs.
Yeah, he meant both.
Yes, maybe he does.
So it's interesting. And, you know, everything you say in the media when you're Brad Marchand and you're in front of a mic, I think it's a little calculated. I don't think you go out there and just speak from the heart, because we all talk about it the next day, and I'm sure it's bulletin board material regardless. But saying that they're built different, they're playing for keeps, it's a little bit of a hat tip to a hard-fought win. So what do you take of
I mean, it's not like token Boston Bruins or token Brad Marchand, but it's playoff mind games. If you can get everybody to talk about how good the Leafs suddenly are when we were talking about everyone getting fired 24 hours ago, then yeah, maybe it'll play into their psyche just a little bit. I will quibble with one thing. He said, yeah, they're built different. Yes, they are. They're physical. Yeah, they're pretty physical. Forechecking has been pretty good. Tight defensively, though? I'm not sure I'm there yet. There was some questionable defensive zone structure on the goal scored by the Boston Bruins yesterday by the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they got some things to clean up still. But if they're listening to Brad Marchand, they're doing it wrong. Yeah. They got to let him talk into oblivion, not to take that to heart.
Yeah, so Maple Leafs back in action tomorrow night. That one's the start of two at Scotiabank Arena. We got a big night for you ahead on Sportsnet. Following our show is Washington and the Rangers. I'm big on the Rangers tonight. We got Nashville and the Vancouver Canucks. And if you missed it at the beginning of our show, there'll be no Thatcher Demko in net for game two and maybe beyond. We'll probably get more clarity about that after the game. That's at 10 p.m. on the doubleheader. If you're looking for Colorado and Winnipeg, 9:30 on CBC. Sportsnet 360's got your Battle of Florida at 7:30. And the Blue Jays and the Royals at 7:30. That's game two of this series. That's on Sportsnet 1, and it's Kevin Gausman on the mound looking to continue a hot streak for the Blue Jays. They're 7-3 in their last 10, and they're looking good.
I'm not sure I could ever get to a tattoo bed.
I think this summer, when it's slow enough, Justin, we'll find a way.
I don't think I can get there.
Believe in us. Believe in the Fan Pregame. We'll be back tomorrow night, everybody. Have a great night. Watch the sports.